635 700 WLW, RNL Carrier Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Let's keep the Reds conversation flowing. From Bronson Arroyo to lead off the show, this would make our next guest the number two hitter, in the order, Tommy Thrall, batting second for your Cincinnati Reds. He'll team with the Cowboy and bring in the Reds game, of course, opening day 2023. Let's go straight to the man behind the mic. How you doing?
I'm great, Lance. Thanks so much. And, boy, really appreciate you having me follow up Bronson. No pressure there or anything. That's great. Yes. If you would have told me that I was having to follow up Bronson, I would have said, you know what, maybe next time.
Let's get to the really important question right off the bat. Did you get your taxes done?
I did, yes. Yeah, taxes are all done, filed away, mailed off, and submitted. Yes, that was a big part of getting home.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I could tell.
Number one thing on the to-do list.
I was mowing the yard on, what was it, Sunday, listening, and I thought, oh boy, I don't want like IRS coming into the booth and like arresting Tommy because his taxes aren't done or something. So I'm glad. It's good.
Yes. They are done. Yes. Good. Very good. Yeah.
How nice was it? It was a normal camp. There was no COVID. There was no lockout. There was just baseball. It had to be nice.
It was. I tell you what, it was very nice to have a normal spring training. Got a chance to see a lot of guys too. I mean, the I think that was the part. You know, with it being a full camp, you have all these non-roster invites more, I think, than we've had. It's certainly during the COVID years, and then I think even last year with the lockout, it kind of changed the way spring training ran a little bit too. Obviously, it shortened it, but that to me was part of the beauty of this camp, was seeing how many good young prospects are in this organization. Seeing them firsthand was really a treat. There's a lot to be excited about for the future of this organization.
Spencer Steer would appear to be the opening day third baseman. He had his struggles at times defensively. As camp went on, did you get a sense that he settled in and became more comfortable and ready for what's ahead?
I did, yeah. You know, I think I still think that's probably going to be a work in progress for him for a little while, but he definitely looked a little bit better as camp went. And I think we all saw that. The defense got a lot better. I think he got more confident over there. And the thing that you can't take away from Spencer, he worked tirelessly on his defense. I mean, I went over to the backfield several times, and, you know, he would be working on the half field trying to get some extra work in. And I mean, he was really dedicated to improving the defense. And I think as he got more comfortable defensively, the offense ticked up too. I mean, because he looked a lot better at the plate toward the end of spring. So I'm really encouraged by what we saw from him. I don't think you can expect him to be Scott Rolen over there, but you want your third baseman to make all the plays. I think he'll do that. And then I think on top of that, the bat is what's going to stand out. He looked pretty good at the plate. So hopefully the progress that he made in the offseason, I know a lot of the talk was about Jose Barrero for good reason. Spencer knew what he struggled with last year. He's a smart guy. He's a heady player. He knew what his deficiencies were. He understood kind of where he maybe went awry with what he was doing at the plate, his approach. He corrected that, and I thought he looked like a much better hitter.
You mentioned Jose Barrera. Let me go right there. He hit .311 in the spring, .380 on base, still struck out a good number of times, but just eyeballing Barrera this camp compared to the last two seasons when he's had opportunities, does he look like a different hitter?
Yeah, he really does. But the thing about it is, and it's so tricky to talk about Jose, because first of all, you can't find a better guy and an easier guy to root for. I think everybody across the organization, anybody that knows Jose, knows how hard he works. They know how good of a kid he is. So he's really easy to root for. So you kind of have to take that part out of the equation so you can look at him a little bit more unbiasedly, I guess, is probably the right way to put it. And I think with him, when you look at it, you kind of have to look at his spring with cautious optimism. There's still plenty of reason to be optimistic. I still think the ability for him to be a very, very good major league player is there. But old habits die hard, right? So the strikeouts are going to be there. I think, as you mentioned, the strikeouts, they were there. We noticed those during the spring. But he just looks so much more competitive at the plate. And that's something that I think we haven't seen from him. We certainly didn't see it when he came up at the end of last year. He looked way more competitive at the plate. He wasn't chasing nearly as much. We'd see him draw some walks, especially when he was down on the count, where in the past, if he got behind the count, he was done, right? So I thought those were encouraging signs. And then some of the contact he made, I mean, he would hit rockets all over the place. So there were really some encouraging signs with him that I think give you enough reason to be cautiously optimistic with him and still very hopeful that he might be able to get a little closer to the player that we all hoped he would be.
Tommy, I said going into camp, I thought Ellie was the most intriguing player going in, and I thought other than that, it was Will Benson, because Reds fans simply hadn't seen a whole lot of him, obviously, here. What did you see in Will Benson over the course of camp?
Yeah, Will's an intriguing player. He's a big, strong kid. He actually has a decent amount of power. Now, we didn't see a lot of the power on display during games. I think there's a lot to like about Will Benson. I'm curious to see what kind of an outfielder he's going to be. I think he might be a little better in the corners than in center, but he can run. I think one of the things that kind of stood out to me is, even though he has a pretty good amount of power, it felt to me like he has a decent knack for how to just get hits and put the ball in play. So that was, because we saw him go the other way or actually pull some balls with, you know, just to kind of muscle him into the outfield. And I liked that aspect out of him. Now, one of the things I do want to see him do is take the ball the other way a little bit more. Yeah. If he can add that into his game, I think he's got a chance. We saw him do that a couple of times late in camp, though.
Tommy, I thought one of the most interesting things of the entire offseason on the Reds' hot stove with you and Jim Day and the Cowboy were the comments by Jonathan Indy at one point, the admission that he added weight, he was looking for power, it didn't work, it was a lesson learned. Does he look ready to return to more of the Rookie of the Year form, do you believe?
Much more so. I was really impressed with him all spring. I would go as far as saying he was one of the guys that stood out the most during camp, just for that reason. Like, he looked more athletic. He took a bunch of walks. He looked better at the plate. He wasn't trying to do too much at the plate. And you noticed all that stuff right out of the gate, which I thought was really impressive about Jonathan. So I'm encouraged with what I've seen from him. I think, again, that to go back to kind of what I said before about cautious optimism, I think you could put him in that same category. That I think he looks exactly like what he told us he was trying to look like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like you hear a player say one thing, all right, well, let's see if the on-field play matches what they're trying to do. It did with him, and that to me was really encouraging. So I was happy to see that with him. Yeah, I like what I saw. I'm really encouraged by him.
What are your big picture impressions of the rule changes and the impact they've had on games and will have on games?
I'll be honest, and I've said it publicly. I'll say it again to you and the folks listening. To me, these rule changes will do for baseball what the home run chase of 98, I think, did, and the way it'll bring people back to the game. Now, I don't know if you'll see the droves of fans come back all at once, but over the course of a few years, I think people are going to come to games. They're going to realize how crisp the games are played, how much they just move. And I think people are going to love it so much because, frankly, it's baseball the way baseball should be played. And if you're a traditionalist, and believe you me, I am as much of a traditionalist as you will find. If you go back and you look at the way the game used to be played years ago, this is how it was played. It was played quickly. It was played with tempo. Guys would get it and just go and play and pitch and hit, and there wasn't all this wasted time. It has cleaned up all of that. All of that's gone. We're back to kind of getting back to the way the game is supposed to be played, and it just makes it so much more fun to watch. You're not going to be sitting there in the stands looking at your phone and scrolling through because you have what feels like 5 minutes between pitches. It just goes. And I think that is going to be something that people are really going to fall in love with. And if people have fallen out of love with baseball, those people are going to fall back in love with it all over again, which is, to me, a beautiful thing for the game. Because for me, the way that I kind of wanted to assess the rule changes, did it take away from the integrity of what we love about the sport? And they don't do that at all. If anything, it enhances the sport. It makes it the way it should be. So I think people are going to love it. The bigger bases, you won't really notice a whole lot. It might impact a few plays here or there where it's a bang-bang play where maybe a guy was out by an inch before. Now he might be safe by an inch. It's just little things like that. But I don't think overall you'll really notice a whole lot there. I think the stolen bases are going to be up. And one of the things, and this isn't necessarily a rule change thing, it's just kind of a offensive philosophy element of this team, they're probably going to bunt more than what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And that to me is something that I know we love home runs and all that, but this isn't going to be a big home run hitting team. They're going to do the little things that it takes to manufacture runs and figure out ways to score runs. So I think that aspect too will be pretty fun for folks to watch.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Cannot wait. If you're wondering about the Reds hot stove, normally tonight, it'll be tomorrow night. Final hot stove of the year tomorrow night, 6-7. That will be you and the Cowboys. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to talk Jim Day into joining us as well, so we can kind of have almost like a roundtable type discussion for the hour as we get ready for opening day. I know we're all excited about it, but it should be a lot of fun. And of course, we'll be in the BetMGM Sportsbook and the Wings and Rings Machine Room there at Great American Ballpark.
Excellent. You're the man. I appreciate you making time. Good catching up.
Yeah, you bet, Lance. Thanks, anytime.
Thanks, Tommy. There you go. Tommy Thrall, voice of your Cincinnati Reds. Up next, some community, Reds Community Fund goings on, some doings, and Charlie Frank has details on that as we head down the stretch in our first of three tonight of R&L Carrier Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
A good day starts with a good morning. Here's Lacey. She starts her day with free-range eggs, free-range tofu, and free-range herbal tea. Then it's off to the yoga mat where she feeds her mind with Mike McConnell.
Hello, hello, good morning.
As she does the downward dog, she gets the latest news, weather, traffic, sports, and Mike's morning charm. Just look at her smile as she does the happy baby. She's basking in Mike McConnell delight.
Mike McConnell, tomorrow morning at 5 on 700 WLW.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.